And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's hook up. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090. Pete Gray here with Rockod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup. We're literally right next. We're overlooking Point Loma Sportfish right here from the world headquarters. And we have Captain Fred Hube from the Daily Double, Steve Peterson from the Mission Bell, talking some great fishing and some fantastic history here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, just having a great time with two great guys. This has just been a very, very fun show. And if you want to join us here in the second hour, we would love to hear from you. Phones are packed up, but we did have one call drop off during the break. So we have an open phone line right now, first time since the beginning of the show. If you want it, straight lines through. It's 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. Open right now. Or text the show. Lots of great texts coming through, like that one from Reggie there. If you want to text us, only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Free download on any of your mobile devices.
Yeah, and we do our best to get to as many texts as possible. We can't get to all of them because we do get a lot of texts, but keep them coming. We love it. And we're giving away a great prize.
Boy, you're not kidding. Some lucky caller at the end of the show today is going to get to go fishing on a trip for two, you and a bud, on the Daily Double at a Point Loma Sport Fishing. Great opportunity. Right now, Fred, you're doing the, is it 8 o'clock?
8:30 to 2:30.
Okay, I love those hours.
The gentleman's trip.
Such a good call. Yeah. So a great opportunity to come fishing with Fred and the whole gang down on the Daily Double at a Point Loma. A great opportunity.
Yeah. We were talking during the break about what an amazing vessel the Mission Bell is that Steve runs. And now I know why it rides so well. It's a steel boat.
It is steel.
Yeah. That's why it's so solid, right?
It is.
Yeah, quite a fishing boat.
And low to the water, and comfortable. I always have absolutely love that riding that boat. It's just right.
When was the boat built?
1960.
60. Wow. 60. It's been around a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you said the Sun Fun was a sister ship?
I believe it's the Sun Fun and the Sea Watch are the sister hulls. Different, they've evolved differently, house configurations and all that. But those three hulls are the same. Or cool. Very similar, anyway.
Wow, very cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's continue on with that catch part. Wrap things up with our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson, is on the line. What's up, Gundy?
It's a take in the morning, sitting at the dock there, huh?
Yeah.
We got the same kind of deal, you know, last week. Another week with mixed conditions. Cooler, stabler water to the north. Kind of mixed up in the middle, and then warmer, stabler water off San Diego beaches. Not your normal October, but you know, we'll take what we get. The wild card this week were schools both short and legal white sea bass up there on the northern beaches, a few on the southern beaches, and then several striped bass catches this week. And then the Bonita kind of showed. San Clemente Pier was a hot spot, and then inside King Harbor. So although the beach bite is, like I said, varied, and you just got to, you know, check it out, this other little thing's kind of worth keeping your eye on. Hook, Line, Sinker reported several white sea bass taken off Goleta Beach. The halibut guys found them just working the beach there for halibut. A lot of shorts, but several kickers in the 30-inch class. So it's just, you know, put in your time, you'll get that fish. Smelt, brown bait, pattern, swim baits have been getting the bites up there. Wiley's reported legal sea bass catches off county line, and we've been reporting that here, really, for the last several months that they've been catching some sea bass up there. There's kelp stringers and a little bit of scattered stones in there. Real good habitat. Some mixed, same kind of mix with shorts. And then I think a 34-inch fish was the top legal there. Cut squid is working for those guys as well as the swim bait. Big Rock kicked out a mix of calico bass, sand bass, sheephead sargo, yelping croaker. Shrimp's been the hot bait here. And in the rocks there, you find the right conditions on the beach, the bite's still very good. Just Fishing reported several striped bass taken off El Segundo and Hermosa beaches. Cut anchovy has been the best bet here. Guys are just casting the long rod outside the breaker, you know, on a dropper loop rig or a sliding egg sinker, and those fish are coming around. Top fish, I think, was 8 pounds. Big Fish reported a good yellowfin croaker bite off the Seal Beach Pier. Bloodworms working on fish to 3 pounds. A 4-pound, 2-ounce fish was taken on a ghost shrimp. Hogan's and Dana Point reported good bonita action off the San Clemente Pier. The early mornings, the evenings have been best. Small colt snipers, crocodiles. Most of the fish, 1 to 2, with some 3-pound kickers, so not too bad. And then finally, the catch of the week, one of our Camp Pendleton Marines, Zach Ackerman was his name to be exact, throwing a 115 flash minnow off the base jetty there, stuck a 36-inch, 17-pound striped bass. I got a picture of it, and we put it in the newspaper there. Beautiful fish. You know, he was just in the shop, and they were talking about, yeah, he's a freshwater guy, talking about how these hard baits work here, and he went down to the beach, and wow, you know what I mean?
36.
And then one last thing on a kind of a not a happy note, but Huntington Beach there has an oil spill right now, and I guess from what I understand, it's all the way down off of river jetties this morning, and they're trying to hold it out of the Talbot Channel and the estuary. So very unfortunate up there, and place to stay away from for a while. So
and
that's about it, gentlemen.
The air show today, and
yeah, they canceled the air show. Just unfortunate.
Yeah,
totally
bad,
yeah,
one. Yeah, not good.
Bummer.
Not good for the surf guys. Hurt ya.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But appreciate you taking such a great time to compile such a great report as always, putting us on it, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, there's some dandy catches there, you know, so it's just about putting your time in, guys.
Always like
your have a good week. Great show, guys.
Surf. Right on, Gundy. Right. Appreciate it as always, buddy. We'll talk to you then. Well, that is going to wrap up our catch report today. Want to remind you, check surffishtackle.com for all your surf fishing reports, tackle, and more.
All right, let's jump into those jam-packed phones.
Packed they are. Ed and Mira Mesa is up next on Let's Talk Cook. Actually, looks like we
already talked.
Yeah, Daniel from Rancho Cucamonga is up next. All right, good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Daniel.
Yes, I have a question. Hey, I'm starting to get into fish with jigs, so I went and bought myself a Trinidad 20 and a Calstar 900. So I want to put braid on it, but I'm not sure about the top shot. Do I go 30 or do I go 40?
If you're fishing service iron, you want to go with 40. I would think about straight mono. I mean, I don't know. If you have some good reason for wanting to cast your surface iron with braid, that's fine. But, boy, oh, boy, there's a lot of really, really good jig fishermen that stick with straight 40-pound mono. And I don't know. It's your call, but I wouldn't necessarily go with a braid route from the get-go. Yeah, if I'm going to cast braid with a lure, I'd like to do it with a reel that has a level wind on it. Yeah. Like a Tranks. If you're going to cast braid, you know, honestly.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I just completely feel exactly the same as Steve. I think the only place for braid on that reel is maybe 150 or 200 yards of it. The only reason being so that you're winding on 125 or 150 yards of mono instead of 300 yards of mono, whatever it is. Like, you want a full, just in my opinion, you want a full cast length plus 25 yards. Like, the amount where on your very best day, the best cast you're ever going to make, you still have 25 yards before you get to where that connection is. And you know, your braid is just filling up some of that space. Outside of maybe a big bluefin tuna, you're never going to get spooled on your surface iron outfit. You might get rocked, and you might lose them in plenty of ways, but you're not on a Trinidad 20, you're not going to run out of line. Like, you don't need it for line capacity reasons.
All right, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. I just posted on our Instagram, Let's Talk Hookup, and Facebook, Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show, a picture that Fred just sent me of himself and Mel Shears.
Yes.
Tell us about that photo.
So it's towards the end of Mel's career. He was in his 80s, and he was still running the double relief. He was captain. And,
wow.
You know,
and you were running the double at that time, too?
No, that was right before I got my license. So I'm thinking that picture was maybe 81, 82.
81. How old are you in that picture?
20, 21, 22.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, we take care of Mel. I mean, he was this far-out old man that came down from Lakeside, and he'd seen everything, and he was uncanny. He could catch fish, and he just had such a good feel for things, and he was so neat to be around. I mean, he was like a grandpa to us.
Yeah.
And we always looked forward to fishing with him, and you know, he had a different way of looking at things, and
boats into his 80s.
Yeah, but he'd come down, he'd be singing, and just, you know, just happy to be there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, still stoked to be there.
That's so cool.
And it was always neat to work with him, and we had a lot of fun, and you know, I looked up to him so much. You know, he talked about Jedi mentors.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Mel was kind of it for me. You know, just somebody that had a fishing sense and presence. And but he was lighthearted about it too, and you know, he wasn't, you know, so many guys in our industry, they get crazy and you got to do this exactly like this, and you know, running around and yelling and uptight, where Mel just kind of took everything in stride.
And
you know, I try to kind of model myself around that, is to, okay, let's not take this too seriously.
Yeah, well, check that out on our Instagram and Facebook page. It's a classic photo.
That's really
cool.
To
say the least, right?
Very cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had a fun text come through. It says, this is for the boys. It seems that sheathead fishing has escalated in the past 2 or 3 years. Is that because we are targeting them more, or is there an environmental change that made it happen, or does it due to the change surrounding live fish traps? Just curious on your guys' opinions.
Yeah. I think something that really opened my eyes, you know, in the 80s we had some El Nino years where there was a lot of red crabs in the water, and we put together some phenomenal catches back then. Tim Volklander was running the double in like 83,
wow.
83, and I remember some good catches with the red crabs, and then moving forward, I don't know, it's like 5 or 6 years ago, we're fishing bass, and there's a group of 3 guys that came out, and they had some frozen red crabs. And I watched them in the middle of a very good calico bass bite basically throw on limits between the 3 of them. And it kind of got me thinking, and more people started bringing shrimp out as an option. And it's just kind of slowly opened my eyes. But it's as far as the live trap guys, you know, like Brian Kilhara, he'll do it. And I've talked with him a little bit, and he's like, Fred, there's a lot more of that fish there than you realize.
Really?
And, you know, as they're trapping them live, selling them live, that fishery, they go out and they're pretty consistent.
Uh-huh.
And their quota is small to where they can't do it all the time.
Yeah.
But it's one of those fisheries. It's like it's right there.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, what do you know? There they are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So
that's cool.
And I think more and more people's eyes are open to the fact. Was it Dana Landon? They're just talking about fishing more shrimp and clams. Mm-hmm. You know, just. You know, we spend so much money on live bait. I mean, it's a lot of our money goes to live bait. And this whole idea of, I got to spend more money? You know, let the passengers take care of it. You know, tell them to bring their own. And it's like, well, yeah, but I want to make a catch.
Yeah, you want your passengers to catch.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we're charging more money to go fishing with us. You know, we always have shrimp. We always have squid available. Always, you
nice.
Know, trying
and,
to.
And like a sardine.
Yeah.
Or anchovies.
Or whatever the live bait is. So it's just, you know, I want to be flexible. I want options. I want every possible means in front of me to, and if it means spending $100 on a case of bait, you know, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, for sure. You can't. As soon as you get cheap at the end, you guess what?
You're doing a disservice to your passengers.
Yeah, and you know, I want every option possible.
I love it. That's
all
cool.
Right, let's jump into the phone.
You got it. Well, they're packed up. Rory and Wilmar, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Rory, thanks for joining us.
Marty, it's not a good day. I looked at the marshes and the beach in Newport and Huntington Beach. 126,000 gallons of oil and was spilled out of the oil derricks about 5-6 miles out. And, the marshes in Newport Beach are like, they're filled with oil. In Huntington Beach, they close the beach down. The oil is on the beaches around Huntington Beach Pier.
Yeah, that's awful, for sure. Bad deal. Yeah, well, hopefully they get it cleaned up quickly and we can move forward on that. It's not a good thing for sure, Roy. But thanks for the info. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Appreciate that very much.
Well, let's jump back into the phones and talk to Sam. Sam's called us from Irvine this morning. Good morning, Sam. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Great show this morning. As we move past this bluefin thing or even get into the winter here, maybe we won't get past the bluefin thing, but the under your boats, are you guys seeing anybody use all the flat falls and flat sided and the slow pitch jigging on any of your trips, or is it mostly just bait?
All those lures all work at times. It seemed like this year. Well, I don't know if you're referring to the yellowtail bite those flat falls and stuff, and then the bluefin, of course, do. This early summer, we had good fish in the vertical style lures. We're not doing any of that nighttime stuff because we're not out there at that time. And, you know, that nighttime is all flat falls and all vertical jigs and knife jigs and whatnot. But, this early summer, that with those bigger fish, we had some good fishing with various, you know, types of vertical lures. Whether they be flat falls, knife jigs, what have you, they were certainly a thing. For us, full day fishing, where we fish, that was mostly this spring. It seemed like this fall, we some of the yellowfin recently, we have caught some of those on the lures, but those are mostly the smaller minnow type baits, like the Colt snipers and stuff. Snipers. But this early summer, there were some of those big ones, some 80, 90, 100 pounders, 120 pounders, even bigger. Caught on those lures and stuff. It was a thing for sure.
I know, Steve, just in your pursuit of freshwater fishing and just you as a guy that geeks out on gear, like I know you stay up on a lot of that kind of stuff. But for yellowtail fishing, is there a time that you fish, it's yo-yo jig time for yellowtail, is there a time that you fish that style of jig over a 6X Junior or whatever, you know, the old school regular yo-yo jig?
The flat falls and stuff, especially the heavy ones, and the knife jigs. I've seen it where, like, when we have just real quick windows of opportunity where the fish aren't sticking with the boat at all, and the first guy to the bottom with a yo-yo jig or a knife jig gets a bite. Mm-hmm. And in those instances, those knife jigs and those flat falls certainly sink faster than a 6X Junior, especially a 6X Junior. The six full-size 6Xs and stuff sink pretty quick, but I've seen it where the first guy to the bottom, or the faster you can get to the bottom, the better. And especially deep, if you're fishing in over, you know, 25 or more fathoms and 30, 40, 50 fathoms, especially like a call net or something, or where there's a lot of current or a lot of wind, and getting to the bottom is not super easy. Mm-hmm. That's when I think that those heavier flat balls sink faster, and the knife jigs sink even faster still. I've seen that as a thing. There was a period when I thought, you know, that the 6X Junior's days were numbered, but not so much. The 6X Juniors and the 6Xs and whatever, other miscellaneous,
right,
you know, Tatty 4Os, what have you, Tatty 9s, still have their place. And especially when its rod is relatively shallow, 20 fathoms or less, those 6X Juniors are still, they're still powerhouse.
The king.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, those flat falls first showed up, I was skeptical. And then we had a day when we had like 10 guys with them tied on. I went, oh, my goodness, we're not catching anything. I'm like, oh, my goodness. We are.
Those 10 guys made your fish count.
These things are for real.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, interesting. Thanks a lot for the call, by the way. Randy from Vista had an interesting question here. It says, have either you ever caught tuna of any type in the kelp area? Which is interesting, like half day tuna in the kelp, or we know we catch them over at Coronado Island.
Yeah,
right?
the five minute kelp
is
the bluefin, is one of the bluefin
spots.
Yeah, South Kelp Ridge and 5 minute kelp are part of the same piece of structure more or less. Those are probably where more bluefin tuna have been caught around the islands. in the last, well, forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
And this year, too, right?
Yeah. South Kelp Ridge, and the northern end of South Kelp Ridge is the 5-minute kelp. That's and that yeah those are standard bluefin places.
What about Point Loma kelp? You ever catch tuna?
Occasionally, you get bluefin on the edge, drop off, up towards Hill Street. We've caught fish in both those spots. And this El Nino, it was 2014 or 2015. It was funny. Myself and I think there was another captain on the boat at the time. We watched a spot get up inside of the Whistler buoy, like northeast of one. And I think I was on the tank chumming him, and I just kind of stopped and I looked at it. And it, I don't know if it was a deckhand, but somebody said, that's tuna. And it's like, I was just speechless, and it was the kid, it was the young kid that was the first to say that's tuna, and it's like,
tuna.
And I'm pretty sure that was yellowfin
that day.
That's
cool.
That was
yellowfin.
We got yellowfin at the islands on the anchor within the last 5 years at the rock pile. That's the only that I can remember. We've caught some driving around the islands, off the island, just a little ways, but actually into the east, up on the north end of
Alabama. Anchored down.
Well, that fish we caught just driving around sonar fishing.
Yeah.
That yellowfin, and then down to the rock pile, that was anchored up.
Wow.
That's yellowfin. Cool.
Yeah, mixed in bluefin.
Now, of course, bonita, which is in the tuna family, catch those on a regular basis in the kelp, right?
All the time.
Yeah. So and the comeback of bonita this year has been good, right?
I think seeing a dorado west of 3 in the bull kelp and 60 feet of water and watching that blue-green go through the corner, and it's like, did I really just see that? and then we hooked the fish.
That's so cool.
I did see that.
What about a marlin?
West of 3.
West of 3.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You ever hook a marlin?
Our closest marlin on the Daily Double was 6 miles southwest of Point Loma.
Okay.
And that was like 83, 84 El Nino.
Uh-huh.
We've hooked several marlin at the islands, anchored up, some at the rock pile, and then some up at North Island. We hooked one a few years ago, and we were fishing next to Ryan on the San Diego, and we hooked the marlin, and it swam underneath the San Diego, and it was jumping on the far
other side
of the San Diego. it was pretty. We lost it, of course.
Yeah.
But we see them in there, and we've hooked them. We've landed one in there, but we've hooked a few in there.
You always hear about weather side of north. That's the zone.
Yeah,
it's deep water. Yeah,
yeah. Weather side of north. And so while we're on that subject, what's the strangest catch that you have seen in your fishing careers, guys?
Steve? You go first. I can't think of it.
Yes.
Really great right now.
Strangest catch.
We caught years and years ago, I was running shark trips on the Daily Double, and we caught a 150-pound big-eye tuna on a shark
trip.
On a shark trip.
Like in the dark?
In the dark, on a chunk of skipjack, on a wire leader and all that, we caught a big-eye. It was pretty cool.
150-pound big-eye.
150-pounder. On a rental pole, on a rental rock cod pole with a 6-0.
Oh my!
Yeah, with a dog ear dyed, and so the reel was a knuckle buster.
Sweet.
Whoa!
Yeah, it spun backwards. Took about 9 guys to wind it in.
This may not be the strangest fish, but we had a conversation about a few weeks ago. Unless I hook up with the how many more of those trigger fish we're starting to see being caught? Do you guys see that at all? Point Loma, the islands, and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. We're more and more.
Yeah, and a Popeye catalufus.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
We've caught some of those. I remember the last one we caught at the islands was at around the Genoa. But we had a guy catch 2 triggerfish on 1 Lucanus jig at the islands.
That is impressive.
That was pretty cool.
That's very impressive.
Yep.
Some really good.
We had an amberjack in the last few years.
I remember that.
Really?
Yeah, a little amberjack.
I'll be darned.
And
tropical stuff.
And that was right in the mouth of the harbor.
And that was legit as could be, too. I remember seeing the photos of that thing. There was there's no denying what that was. It was not a yellowtail.
How about the striper you guys caught from the...
That's got to be the one. Yeah.
That's coming back. In my youth, I've got a fishing game chart, regs, the short little... in my office from 1975 or 6, and it talks about striped bass. And you don't even see striped bass listed anymore on that. So when we caught one this summer, sitting at the dock, the boys were fishing baits, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, tied up
and,
to the dock.
And we caught a striped bass at the dock.
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Really? Right off Mitch's porch.
Now, and of course, salmon. Right. You've caught salmon.
Salmon. Salmon. It seems like that's more when there's anchovy. When we're in a colder water cycle and there's, you know, predominantly anchovies as our bait fish, that's when you see the salmon.
Yeah.
Right now, it's been a while since. Okay, here you go.
It's all coming back. Okay.
Well, you know, strangest catch. I mean, that's tough, and it's like, yeah, you know, there's so many different things we've seen. So the first year, the kids' tournament of Day of the Docks, first year when we found the International Reef, you know, they put it in, and we didn't know exactly where it was. We finally pinpointed where it was. The first trip we fished was the kids' fishing tournament for Day of the Docks, and we had a 100 huge sand bass, but it was the first and only time trip I ran where we caught a salmon and a yellowtail on the same trip.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I've never seen a salmon and a yellowtail caught on the same trip.
Yeah, no doubt.
Since then.
That's impressive.
That's cool. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great questions and texts. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice on the Mightier 1090.
Rock Cod Rick here for West Coast Marine and Parker Boats. You see them all over Southern California waters. Parker Boats of the Launch Trim, the offshore islands. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all size fishing in the same area as the Sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. Of all the boats out there, my boat partner and I chose to get a brand new 25 Parker center console from Kevin Kelly and the gang at West Coast Marine, and I could not be happier. Wow, what a fishing machine. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt. But that's why so many 4 and 6-pack charters choose to operate Parkers. We thank the guys at Pinnacle Sport Fishing, Season Sport Fishing, One Man Charters, Black and Blue Sport Fishing for their confidence in Parker boats. Take it from me, if you are ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Saturday, November 6th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, and it's our largest sale ever. Plenty of seminars by saltwater experts, over 20 reps from tackle manufacturers like Shimano. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag 2-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. When throwing jigs, the Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. For the best ever tackle bargains, check out Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 6th. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home. With an absolute perfect bend and an ideal barbs, your bait swims harder and longer. And when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
There are plenty of boat clubs and marinas in San Diego, but there's only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Check ResortKonaKai.com for more information. The Kona Kai Resort, much more than just a place to park your boat.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Boy, during the break, the odd catch stories have just been flowing. Yeah. As like you said, Fred, all the years of fishing, you know, not that it blends together, but they just start reliving. But you guys were talking about some tagged fish catches that blew my mind.
So
the
spiny dogfish we caught a few years back, and they seem to move through this time of year, and I don't know if they're tracking into Mexico for pupping, but we caught one that was tagged southern part of Alaska.
Wow.
And
it was down here.
And it was down here. They told us it had, I forgot how long it was at Liberty for. I got the information, but it had traveled like 1,800 miles to get to us.
Crazy.
And she was pregnant, and I think they pup in northern Baja. But
interesting.
But you know, the biologists were really happy to get the information.
Yeah.
And my speculation, you know, whatever it means to me.
So did you see the tag and just pulled the tag and let the dogfish go? Or?
Yeah, we let her be.
Yeah.
And you know, the information, you know, they were excited. I mean, the feedback I got, it's like they're really excited to get the information. They appreciated it.
That's cool.
So when you get a tag fish, do you take the tag off or you leave the tag in? Do you just write down the information?
We just wrote it down.
Just write down the numbers. And.
But it's funny. You get that, and it's like, okay, now I'm kind of interested in pulling out the Peterson's Fuel Guide and realizing that a spiny dogfish, their lifespan is like 30 years. They're not sexually mature till they're like 12 years old.
Wow.
Gestation period is 2 years.
They're pregnant
for 2 years. But if you've ever seen the pup that comes out of one of those sharks, I mean, they're fully developed and, you know, they're 6, 7, 8 inches long and they're ready to go.
Pretty amazing.
It's so interesting.
Yeah,
it's cool.
You know. And Steve, you had an interesting catch too of a tagged fish.
Actually, it was we tagged it and then it was recovered. And I had it wrong when I said it first. It was recovered at Canoas, not Calnet. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I moved
a sculpin.
Yeah, two of them I think. And then another time we caught a sculpin at North Island that had been tagged originally, I think, in Huntington. Yeah.
Wow. So they move around. I had no idea they move that much.
Yeah.
As a ground fish, there's more movement on those fish than any other.
It was one of the first
things
you said this morning, and I meant to come back to it. I just you think of a fish like that, and like, oh, it's going to move around to a few different rocks in its little area, wherever maybe there's some anchovies at. It's good. But I would have just never thought about making
hundreds of miles
of moves as a sculpin.
Yes. And then you said you caught a turtle, too.
Yes, we got a turtle this past.
Did he eat bait or did he just like got snagged?
I think he got snagged.
Yeah.
I mean, we're again fishing near the mouth of the harbor and just one of those fluke things.
That's so wild,
I think he got snagged in the shoulder. I don't think he bit a bait, but you know, we got him up, we got him off and he was on his way.
Yeah. So, with lobster season just starting, you ever catch lobster on a hook and line?
Never.
Never.
No, we have. But not.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Are they actually eating or are they snagging, you think?
We've got very few of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the most lobster we ever see is a trap that had its buoy knocked off and we snagged the line and pulled the trap up. And, you know, I want to get it off the boat as quickly as possible.
Sure, no doubt.
I mean, I don't want to have anything to do with it on the boat because we're not licensed, and you know, I don't want any misunderstandings.
Right.
A few years back, we were fishing off of five tanks in Point Loma, and we'd caught this dead rope, and there was a lobster guy right there, and I had my crew just hold on to the line, drove over to the lobster fisherman, and nobody that I knew. And we handed him the dead line and said, hey, you know, it's somebody's trap.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know each other. And we handed the line off to him, and I watched him pull this trap. It was loaded.
He was stoked.
So, but
yeah, and plus you eliminated that from the bottom of the ocean, which
is
a death trap.
Yeah, got it out of the water. Yeah. It's somebody's gear.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want those on my boat because fishing game has no sense of humor when it comes to it, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a precious commodity.
Sure.
And, you know, I want to stay as far away from it as possible.
Right.
And, you know, it's the right thing for everybody.
For sure. Well, hey, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it. Packed up they are. If you want to get your shot, it's 213-432-1090. Next up, we're going to talk to Bruce. He's calling us from Lemon Grove this morning. Hi, Bruce. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Wonderful show. I'd like to thank Fred. Both my sons started fishing on your boat, and they both fish avidly now. And I know they really enjoyed the hamburger mostly when they were young, but they actually got into it when they got older, so it was great. My question for you guys is, what's the biggest bluefin that's been caught out there this year? I heard of a 454.
Well, for our boats, you know, the Point Loma and the Mission Bell, we set boat records since we've owned them, biggest fish that we've caught. And the Point Loma had a 193.
Jeez.
Mission Bell had a 187. And then 2 weeks later, he broke that at a 205.
Over, yeah, a little over 200 pounds.
Wow.
So on full day trips, those.
But it's
pretty spectacular.
You and Rick would know about the biggest one for the whole year. I mean,
for the season.
Biggest one this season that I know of was a 395 that Floyd Sparks caught got turned in as the new state record, and it got accepted as the state record fish. I know that one got weighed. So that one is the only one that I can say without a doubt for sure got weighed on a certified scale at the Marlin Club. I heard about a fish that came in commercial-wise that was a 400-pounder, but, you know, you always tend to hear about that. The year previous, there was, a 416 that was made on that Green Pier at Avalon. That's the only 400-pounder that I know of, same deal for sure, that was on a scale. That doesn't mean that there weren't more. It wouldn't surprise anybody. But
a lot of big ones.
Yeah, the one I know of for sure this season is the biggest, just that I happen to know of, is that fish that Floyd caught, 395.
Right.
That they weighed in at the Marlin Club there.
You were talking earlier, Steve, about having some sessions with 200-pounders on the Mission Bell this year. What was that like?
It's crazy. It's wild. We a lot of, you know, undergunned, not adequate tackle. We spent a lot of time pulling on big fish on 30-pound and 25-pound.
And that was on a day trip, right?
Oh, yeah.
Catching a cow on a day trip.
We had a trip. We were 13 miles from Point Loma. And we had like five fish over 100 pounds. And I was just, I know that skiffs and other people have had, you know, as much big fish close or closer. But for me, it was just like, oh my gosh. And I was I had some young crewmen on the boat. I go, man, this is it. Remember this.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got 100 pound bluefin tuna, several of them. And we're 13 miles from Point Loma.
There was a period there, I think it was July, where that fish was everywhere, seemed like, right?
Yeah, there were some catches made much closer than that, like 3, 4, 5 miles even. But that day, we were only 13 miles, and we had several fish over 100, and we had a stop where we had I think we had 12 fish out of that stop, or maybe 10. And the smallest was like 60, and the biggest was like 135 pounds.
Were those all flatfall fish?
No,
sinker rigs.
Bait.
Like what was the okay?
Bait. One was caught on a stick bait. One was caught on a stick bait, and the rest were on live bait.
Crazy.
Live bait. Yeah.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That is good.
Well, the phones are packed up. We're going to jump back into them. This time, we're going to talk to Adam. Adam's calling us from Murrieta this morning. Good morning, Adam. Welcome to Let's Talk a Cook Up.
Good morning, guys. I just had a real quick story, a Fred Huber story. all three of my kids, their first fishing trips from a boat, I've always been with Fred and his crew, and I've always had really high respect for his ability to hire crew that are, you know, good with, you know, day after day with, you know, novice anglers and first time anglers. And Fred's always had great patience, and you could tell that he enjoys his job. Well, there's one evening I'm waiting for a boat, and I'm sitting up there at Mitch's, and you know, so far as I knew, Fred had just finished doing back-to-back trips on his boat, and he's walking up the dock, and he looks up, and I said, "Hey, Fred, how you doing?" He stopped and chatted with me for a good half an hour. We just sat there and just, you know, shot the breeze and just talked, and I thought, man, this guy just finished his day. And he's taking the time to talk to me. I just have so much respect for Fred, and I just wanted to share that because it was really cool for me to be able to hang out and talk with him.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, that's cool. Where he's fun to fish with.
No doubt,
yeah.
Man. That's why the boat's as popular as it is. And everybody, sure. You know, and you hear the same story. My kid started there, and, you know, I started my career on there, and I started as a pinhead working on that boat, and now I, you know, operate this boat. You know, just, you know, there's the stories of the – of that boat, and especially under your tutelage, you're endless. It's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Here's a good one. Steve has to be my favorite captain to fish yellowtail. Watching him turn into an excited, happy kid when he's talking in good school is one of the reasons I love to kill yellowtail on the plug. And so you have some serious inspiration there on yellowtail fishing.
You know what? Honestly, I like seeing him on my sonar, and I get as much joy out of fishing him with the boat and chasing him around and doing and getting him in a, you know, taking a school of yellowtail that are just minding their own business and making them, you know, attack the boat is more fun for me than it is hooking one on a surface iron. I get more pleasure out of that than I do catching one on a surface iron. And that, yeah.
Okay. How do you make them attack the boat?
Putting bait on them at the right time and the right way and just the whole thing. The sonar is so much fun. It's just fishing on the anchor is great, but finding a school and, you know, going to where you think they should be, and they are there, and then tracking that school and then getting it back behind the boat and positioning it. And then you can watch them. You can watch them with your sonar, and you can watch them ball up and get scared, and you can watch them see the bait, and they get excited, and they spread out and like a wolf pack and just spread out and as soon as you see them start to spread out, you got them. They're going to bite.
And you're seeing all this on your screen.
You can watch it on your sonar and watch it on your meter.
The pursuit, like it starts with you going to where they should be, and then you see them out in front of you and to the left, and the boat is chasing after them, and they're going right, and so you go right and then left, and you get over the top of them and then pour the bait on them or whatever, however it works out. That's what you're talking about.
Something to that effect, yeah. Depending on, just sometimes you don't want to drive them over. Sometimes the water's too shallow or something there. Or whatever. Sometimes you want to put them down the side rather than down under the stern of the boat. But quite often, put them underneath the boat.
And the narrative is the fun part.
Totally.
So
yeah,
if you're on the boat, you know, he's driving the boat, he's moving the electronics, he's positioning the boat, but then he's talking to the crew member, and they're under us now. Okay, let it go. You know, throw a lot of bait. And, I mean, everybody's involved, hearing the narrative and the excitement in his voice. And it just, it's like, God, if you're not inspired
by that, right?
I mean, that's the show.
That gets me fired up now. Yeah. You're right. I mean, you put yourself in the guy's shoes with his, you know, with his Trinidad at the rail and his, you know, and his flatfall getting ready to go. Like, your anticipation of hearing the, you know, boat moving around and, you know, you're seeing the boat jog left and jog right and, let it happen. I mean, you're just, for God's sakes, let me put this thing in the water. I'm ready. You know, like, it just gets you so fired up.
Yep. Yeah. But don't kid yourself. He gets down on deck pretty quick. And gets
gets a bait in the water.
When he was talking about that first jig on the bottom earlier with the knife jigs and the flat falls, I was
right.
I had a mental image of him might be the first guy down too.
Yeah, but how many times have you hooked fish and handed them off to making people's day though? Right?
Yeah,
what it's all about.
Every
right?
one of them.
Yeah, I don't want to wind them in.
Yeah, I mean, but you're making a guy's day because he's having a tough day. He's not catching fish, and you hook and hand one, and my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hopefully
make his day. That's the idea, right? So, is there at the Corn? I know you spend a lot of time in Corn Isles. Is there a particular area or spot at the Corn Isle Islands that you just love to fish? Like when you get on them,
the North Island's classic.
Yeah,
just because of the scenery. But honestly, I like the Rock Pile because there's so much to it, and there's such a it's a big area.
Yeah,
and they're not necessarily, you know, they could be all around the pile anyway. And there's typically less boat traffic. It's not quite so confined, and you can spread out, and you can, you know, there's days when there would be one other sport boat or two other sport boats, and the two of us or the three of us will have fantastic fishing, and we won't see another boat all day.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is my favorite. This time of year.
Yeah.
This time of year, you go down there, and you find some new fish, and you go down there and just have an incredibly good day, and there's only two boats there, or other boats there. That's my favorite thing, is to be just...
on your own.
Fishing that anybody would want to do on any type of trip, and there's nobody there.
What about you, Fred? Point Loma Camp area, where's your favorite zone?
Well, depending on what we're fishing for, I mean, you know, it seems like we keep alternating between sandbashers and cowpiers for calicos. Fish, you know, the whole change, the calicos at the end of the point, you know, it seems like our first bites are always up in the shallows. So, you know, northwest of 3 and west of 3 in that area and there, and then, you know, up and down the kelp.
Yeah.
I mean, that just...
there's a lot of places.
Yeah, as it progresses. You know, close to home. I like close to home because nothing like getting the job done and having people on fish early. But then I'd love fishing up and down Imperial Beach and that area. And like Steve was saying, you know, finding something away from everybody else and just kind of... having it in an area where there's not a lot of boat traffic. We get so much boat traffic up and down the kelp beds that fishing sand bass out where it's you know, a little piece of structure and not everybody knows about it, and having that to ourselves is kind of fun too.
That's fun.
I love it. Hey, well, I want to remind you that this portion of the show, we normally talk to our guy Dave Hansen, but he's in that War Heroes on Water tournament right now, so eventually we might not hear from him. But normally we have our FishDope.com report, which is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego Landing, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros the market, you can purchase fresh fish, you can buy smoked and jerky fish. They have their spices, the rubs, smoked cheese, the famous tuna burger, and that amazing poke kit. They're all available now at their new location in Old Town on Taylor Street. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Phones are packed. We're going to jump back into it and talk to Arnie Connors from Vista this morning. What's up, Arnie? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Pete, Ricky, Fred, Steve. Hey, I tell you what the question I was going to ask. Pete, can you hear me?
Good morning.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Pete, you beat me to the darn question I was going to ask, and I'll tell you what, I enjoyed listening to all the answers about the unusual caches. The thing I would like to really put a big thank you and kudos out to Fred. My uncle, Henry Shimada, was a longtime pastor of his, and when he passed away, he actually laid his resting place at the Point Loma Kelp, and Fred laid him out there, and a few years ago, we kind of did a little memorial trip at night. We did, instead of doing daily double, we did a daily triple. He took us out after his second trip, and we went out at night to the kelp, and we fished out there. And it was kind of very nice of you to do that, Fred. And just want to tell you what a quality man you are, and thank you for doing that. Everybody, he's a great guy.
Thanks, sorry. I'm humbled.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great
tribute.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And that's the boat.
Yeah. So you're looking out the window, seeing the double go by now.
So doubles, again, the schedule, 8:30?
8:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon, and then we're...
Now, do you ever come in late?
Yes. I try to check with people. It's like, I hope nobody has a flight to catch at 3:30 because we might be a little late.
Yeah.
You know, summertime we're doing that second trip, 3 to 8:30, but we're winding down. We're off those. We're still scheduled for Saturdays, Fridays and Saturdays.
It's kind of about afternoon twilight kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the best of the afternoon by far.
Oh, for sure.
But it seems like as the days get shorter, I mean, the fishing's still good. I mean, you know, I want to be doing them, but the interest from the customer seems to be devastating. So
yeah. That's and fun. What about Mission Bell? What's your schedule on Mission Bell?
6 a.m. departures every single day.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah. And you're pretty much fishing every day now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for and as long as the fishing
holds
up. As
long as the fishing's here.
Yeah, as long as
the fishing. And you're fishing wintertime, too.
Yeah. We'll fish into the winter. If there's fish, if there's good fishing, yeah. But we'll shut down at some point to do some maintenance.
Yeah.
But, you know, just check on the website. We're Cape Point Loma Sport Fishing call, and we're there.
And even like when the rockfish season closes here,
oh, yeah,
you can fish rockfish in Mexico.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, springtime and all that, yeah, for sure.
So when you do rockfish fishing trips down in Mexico, do you need passport?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do. Okay.
Yes, you do.
Go get
it. For God's sakes, just go get that thing.
Please.
Yeah.
Let me fish the islands when I want to.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on the double because we're giving away two passes. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice, the Mightier 1090.
Seakeeper, the leader in marine stabilization, has launched its newest, smallest, and most radically different model, the Seakeeper 1. Now, for the first time, stabilization is available for boats as small as 23 feet. The Seakeeper 1 is designed to eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on vessels 23 to 30 feet. With a fresh new look, the Seakeeper 1 has a compact flush mount installation and runs on 12-volt battery power. Installation is a breeze. It can fit under almost any seat. Now your skiff can enjoy the comfort and enjoyment that only a Seakeeper-equipped boat can provide. Check out the Seakeeper demo boat at upcoming shows and arrange a free test drive. Seakeeper has changed the lives of many Southern California anglers, including Pete Gray, and will allow you to stay on the fishing grounds when others need to head back to port. Visit seakeeper.com/take-a-ride to arrange a demo. Eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on your trailer boat. Seakeeper. Once you feel it, you'll never boat without it.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limit, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Big congratulations. Going fishing on board the Daily Double with Captain Fred Huber at a Point Loma Sport Fishing. Congratulations to Rory and Wildemar. You're going to love fishing with Captain Fred. A great time.
Yeah. And guys, Captain Fred, if we want to go fishing with you, how do we do it?
Contact Point Loma Sport Fishing at 619-223-1627 or pointlomasportfishing.com online.
And then, of course, the schedule, 8:30 to 2:30, is that 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
And that's going to run through the winter, too?
Yes, year-round.
Yeah, year-round.
8:30 to 2:30 year-round.
All right. Great schedule.
That's
great
cool trip.
And, Steve, if somebody wants to ride the Mission Bell?
Same thing, Point Loma Sport Fishing, 619-223-1627, or the website, 6 a.m. every day.
6 a.m. every day. And,
yes, sir.
And it's basically, at this point, you're just going to go where it's best.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And
right now,
who knows what that's going to be?
Yeah, right now we're fishing offshore, still doing that.
Yeah,
and hopefully that yellowfin tuna gets back with us.
Yeah, and there's still some yellowtail, maybe a dorado.
Yeah,
some bluefin around.
Oh yeah,
yellowfin.
Yes, all of the above.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's all possible because the water's still looking good.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, there's still good water. Absolutely. It's just a matter of getting up on fish.
Down below, another day and a half guys had yellowtail kelps and Dorado kelps pretty darn good. Like, a lot of guys had limits of, you know, that's the next zone down and, you know, water pushing our direction. I mean, there's lots there. It's the beginning of October. There is lots of great fishing still in our future. No doubt about it.
Both full day and on the half day, too. I mean, who knows what the half day is going to happen.
My favorite time of year.
Yeah,
I love
100%.
The
fall.
And great weather this week. Get out on the boat and go fishing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah, yes, please. Yeah. Well, great having you guys and always fun.
Yeah,
Point Loma Sport
show.
Fishing
lots
and really a lot of history. And so get on the boat and talk to Fred about history, too. He'll probably tell you a few stories.
These guys are almost making me feel old. I turned 60 this year, but 60 is the new 40,
right?
That's right. Yes. I agree with that. Well, thanks for listening today. Great show. Of course, I'll be heading down to Palma de Cortez this week with our group. We have 55 people in our tournament this year. So down to Palma de Cortez for our 27th annual Let's Talk Hookup Fall Spectacular. That's going to be a great, great, great time. And Ricky and Corey will be here next weekend. So that's going to be a couple good shows. Next Saturday, Rick and Corey are going to talk tuna and calicos. That was such a popular show. And Corey's fresh back from Sagos Island fishing charters. He gets back Friday, and he's going to be on the show on Saturday with Rick, and they'll be talking a lot.
Yeah,
for sure.
Fun.
And then next Sunday, Rick and Corey will have Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing on the show, and then Ricky gets on the Shogun and heads out on our six-day Let's Talk Hookup trip. So a couple of great shows next Saturday and Sunday. Thanks to JP for manning the phones and Ford. Thanks to Adam for on the app, and we'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.